to say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about tool time. Let's talk about bull wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone thugs in, are they in harmony? Do, do, help a snowman, do.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome. Today's book that we're talking about, because this is now a book podcast, is very close to my heart and currently my crotch because it's in my lap. Now that I've made sure this could never be monetized on YouTube, which is fine because I've never been able to monetize anything on YouTube, the book is Origins by me. I'll read you the back. The contents of this book are the humble origins of what grew to be the Helpful Snowman Empire. Good job, me, putting the title of the book and then using it again on the back cover. An empire that fits in a studio apartment, but still, empire. The ISBN's 978-1520-226170. I haven't read this book for quite a long time, but what this is basically... when I started HelpfulSnowman.com as a website, it started as a blog. Didn't originally have a podcast component, and I was very dedicated to updating this every day. I would, you know, like if I was going to be out of town or something, or like what I had to do often, because I didn't have internet until I think 2008 or so at my apartment. Every once in a while, something would happen so I could get internet, which I think was coming from my upstairs neighbor, which I figured out because I would sometimes watch like YouTube or shit like that with my laptop balanced on top of some shit that I'd stacked on top of a rolling office chair. But suffice to say, I did like all of library school without having internet at home. I did it all online without having internet at home. I don't know. I know why. Because I was poor. And I was like, I don't think I can really afford like $50 a month for the convenience of internet. Which, you know, okay, so then I would go to like a Starbucks and you had to buy, I don't know, an iced chai with some vanilla. And that was probably like $4. And I'd do that every weekend. So I was probably looking at like $30. Anyway. I wasn't in school for math. Okay? I was in school for library science. And the other thing is, it would cost the same amount, right? But I wouldn't also have a delicious beverage. Think about that. So what I had to do for HelpfulSnowman.com was like queue up a bunch of stuff. So I would have to, maybe I would write it over the week or like whatever. And then on the weekend, I would have to go somewhere and do a marathon session, posting them all and scheduling everything and doing all that stuff. And I stopped doing that, I think, because, you know, social media and the internet destroyed that sort of thing. I kind of, at times, I think about going back to it and just rebelling. You know what I mean? Close the newsletters and stuff and just start updating HelpfulSnowman.com like every day. Or, you know, stop reviewing books on Goodreads and just put it on HelpfulSnowman.com. And I'm like, I mean, if I guess it would be a monument to toiling in obscurity, which I currently do, but I haven't built a monument to it yet. Anyway, I thought it would be fun to go through this book because, I mean, these are things that are like probably approaching 20 years old, some of them. So I feel like. I feel like there'll be some nice surprises in here. The dedication. Special thanks to the Kirch. She's the only person I know willing to edit a description of what it's like to have sex with Bigfoot. The Kirch was someone I worked with at the library. And she was weird and fun, but also weird. I was always infuriated because the Kirch... Okay. I'm not necessarily infuriated because people haven't seen like Star Wars or Indiana Jones or something, right? I'm a little more infuriated with someone of my generation. Me and the Kirch were like about the same age. And, you know, today I'm like, well, I don't know, like maybe Avengers is the Indiana Jones of this generation. Like, I have to believe it would be like, I've never seen a Marvel movie for someone who is currently 15. And you'd be like, how's that fucking possible? You know what I'm saying? Or I've never seen a Harry Potter. I also give some leeway for people who, you know, in Star Wars, like, yeah, they're a little too cool for that. And that's fine. But Kirch was a huge fucking nerd. She named her child after King Graham from King's Quest. Okay? Her parents did, like, something with computers. And, you know, she attended many, like, computer conferences as a child. So this is the world she was coming from. But she had never seen a Star Wars and never seen an Indiana Jones. And it blew my mind. I was like, you're not even curious? You know what I mean? Not even curious. You don't even want to know what everybody sees in the, you know what I mean? Like, I've seen a good portion of a Twilight movie just out of pure curiosity. You know what I'm saying? I've seen and read a Harry Potter. Like, I've seen an Avenger. I know, you know, a lot of these big, big things I'll end up experiencing. And it's like Star Wars, when I was a kid, was like a cultural phenomenon. Like, if you went to some other kid's house and they had 5 movies on VHS, 3 of them were Star Wars movies. Or maybe like 2, because, you know, their dad was like, fuck those Ewoks or whatever. So anyway, Kirch helped me edit a lot of stuff, though, which was really nice. I guess I've got a foreword here, which maybe is what I just told you, but let's see. Howdy. It all started with Mr. Piss, a machine designed to take any liquid and turn it into urine, just like a Mr. Coffee, but, you know, awful and pointless. I told a friend about this idea I had, this strange device that would sit on kitchen counters unused, how it would be the funniest wedding gift ever, how you could baffle everyone by owning this device, how it would actually be kind of amazing. The science behind turning any liquid into piss. I mean, amazing other than the fact that this is exactly what the human body does all the time, every day. My friend wasn't terribly impressed by this idea. I'd like to think I've matured to a certain extent since I came up with Mr. Piss, and I can see where she's coming from. Some people aren't into finding alternative ways to create and distribute pee. I took the idea to the internet. I wrote my first blog, a MySpace blog. My first blog wasn't about an important issue, not about some cultural or social issue, not a downtrodden tale of a young, sad man. Nope. I saw that I had some sort of minor voice, and I used it to talk about a machine that would only succeed in making lives worse. Thus began everything. It was the first thing I wrote for fun. It would kickstart an interest in writing. It would be the impetus to start a website and a podcast and a bunch of other stuff down the road. Here in these pages, you'll find these first entries. Okay, so I was wrong. These aren't actually the Helpful Snowman blogs. These are the MySpace blogs. This goes back even further. They aren't all here. Some of them just sucked, and some of the others I cleaned up a bit, not really for content, just to make them readable. A tiny bit funnier here and there. But overall, they're pretty much the same thing you'd have found on that MySpace blog a decade ago. So when this came out, it was like a decade ago. So I'm guessing this came out, I don't know. Well, you know what? I could find out. Hold on. I just happened to have a website open, goodreads.com, that could probably tell me that. Let's see. This is not my 12th most popular book. Not my 18th most popular book. Not my 24th most popular book. This might be my least popular book, which would be amazing. Hey, it's not even on here. Well, son of a gun. That's going to make this a little complicated, isn't it? Well, you know what? I don't know if it matters. Does it matter? Does anyone care but me? Let's try this way. Let's try a good old amazing.com from which this was self-published. All books. Maybe this just doesn't exist on there anymore. Maybe it was like, nah, we're not going to do this. Wow, it's like not here. Oh, here it is. It has a different cover. My mistake. Okay, so this was published October 19th, 2014. So it's 22 years ago? No, I can math. 12 years ago. So these are 12 years old, but they were 10 years old at that time. So these are like 24 years old. That's crazy. That's my reason for being here and an excuse for some of the more terrible shit in the pages below. Best Pete. Why would I say the pages below? That makes no sense. The pages forthcoming. The pages you're about to turn onto. I wonder some of these, like how many I'll remember, because this one I remembered immediately. It's titled, Watch Out for This Delicious New Scam. Hi, I'll have 2-foot-long turkeys on wheat. Okay, that'll be $12.75. All right, here's my card. Careful when you scan it. It's one of those new chocolate cards. Chocolate card? I don't think we take those. Sure you can. Just hurry up and scan it. It's getting soft. No, I really don't think this is going to work. Look, either scan it or give it back. Oh, great. You melted off the security code with your thumb. How am I supposed to shop online? I don't think you can shop online with this. Oh, really? Because yesterday I was shopping on Crate and Barrel, and they have online specials not available in stores, something you would know if you spent less time criticizing other people and a little more time updating your furniture, like me. I bought nightstands. Sir, I'm sorry, but I don't think I can take this. I bet your nightstands are milk crates covered in fabric, asshole. So I guess this is a, you know, if I was like selling this book today, I'd be like, ooh, surrealist short, what do you call these? Micro stories. Flash fiction. Chocolate credit cards abound. A man tries to pay for Subway sandwiches with a credit card made out of chocolate. How did he get it? Why does it exist? I feel like it's like anti almost what you see sometimes today, which is like these kids today. But like where it feels like you watch a show and it's like a 12 episode series and each episode is like fucking 2 hours long. And it's like, well, I had to watch like 4 episodes before the thing that I was watching this for started happening. Do you know what I mean? The thing that this is titled after didn't start happening for like 5 hours of viewing time. This feels like the opposite because you're just like, you can't go to the origin of the chocolate credit card because it doesn't make sense. It's like it's a prequel proof, this blog. Just in case anyone was, I was kind of a genius to write this. You know, everyone wants to write prequels to shit, and I was like, I'll make something prequel proof. Okay, next one's titled Hotel Waterbed Composition. 3% water, sort of like the human body in reverse. 8% sperm. Let's just get that out of the way. Try to ignore the wiggling feeling on your back. 10% Crown Royal vomit. 50% pee. Look, if you needed to top off a waterbed real quick, what would you do? 20% decomposing hooker bodies and 9% water from old aquariums. First of all, pee. And I was like, well, that seems like an obvious choice. But then now that I'm looking at it from my perspective then, which is like, yeah, I guess if I had to work at a hotel, what am I going to do? Like hook up a hose outside, go down the stairs, hook up a hose, bring it upstairs, fill the waterbed? Or am I just going to, you know, if it needs like, I don't know how much people pee when they pee on average. I've been hydro whoring like crazy, drinking like, I don't know, 150 ounces a day. That's a lot, right? That's too much water. The other one is that I thought was weird. The weirdest one to me is water from old aquariums. Where would you even get that? You know what I mean? Why was that in my brain? Why would it be easier to get water from an old aquarium other than anywhere else? I mean, if I had to fill a hotel waterbed, I guess I would probably be using the ice bucket and running back and forth from the sink. That's the funny thing about living, but being in a hotel. Well, I guess living in a hotel, it's, you know, it's the funny thing about being in a hotel. And if you were living in a hotel, it wouldn't be funny because it would be your life. But it's like you're trying to replicate some of the things you do at home. And you're like, but you have limited tools with which to do it. You know what I'm saying? You're like, I don't really want to use this rocks glass to drink, I don't know, coffee out of. But I guess I'm going to. I guess that's what's happening. How does it work, too, that like, you know, the first time I stayed in a hotel that had like a Keurig type device, I was like, this is amazing. And I was like, well, this makes a lot of sense for hotels. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can have a cup of coffee in your hotel room first thing in the morning or whatever, and you don't have to, you know, it's not a lot of fuss. But I feel like hotels were one of the first adopters of this technology. And now that they're in every office and stuff like that, I think hotels are still rocking those original machines. It always tastes like shit. Not that like Keurig coffee is particularly good in any circumstance, but I find hotel Keurigs to be particularly bad. Like just outrageously not good. And you're like, how could you make it this bad? You know what I mean? Like, how could it be this awful? Like it's, there's two ingredients, coffee and water. Here's another water related one called showering at work, pros and cons. I can tell you where this came from because there is a shower at my old workplace at the library, like in the back for employees. My understanding of this, and I don't know if this is 100% true, but it sounds like something that's true. At one time, like to get, you know, Eco LEED certified or whatever the fuck that shit is, you know, it was like a bunch of different factors would come together to determine whether or not you're LEED certified. And one of them was like, well, if you make it so that employees could bike to work by having a shower there, which is really dumb because like the thing you need to do to make it possible for employees to bike to work isn't have a shower. It's to like make the entire city surrounding the workplace, you know, not outwardly hostile towards people on bikes. That would probably be the main thing you could do. But I guess a shower is also nice. So anyway, there was a shower there, which I did use one time, but I cannot remember why. It may have been like, I know we did a run club at the library at one time. And so maybe I had gone for a run in the summer heat and then had to continue working after that. Because I wasn't smart enough to be like, yeah, I'm out. Once I would go running and I'm that sweaty, no one wants me here. So anyway, that's probably where the germ for this idea came from. Pro, saves water. Okay, well, con, saves water because I don't think I could stand to be nude in the workplace for more than 7 seconds. Yeah, it's like, does it save water? How does it save water? And then I was like, oh yeah, okay. Because I wouldn't want to shower for very long at all at work. Pro, nobody competing for hot water supply. Con, hot water supply not in competition because showering at work is a terrible idea. Pro, cool shower flip-flops. Con, horrified faces of coworkers when I explain that there are wet flip-flops under my desk because I used the work shower. Pro, less likely that there are pubes in the drain. Con, real psychological issue if I do find a pube ball in the drain, followed by weeks of suspicious and inappropriate questioning of coworkers' grooming habits. Pro, handicap accessible. Con, sitting down in the shower is sort of like holding in gas while you have sex. You get the job done, but somehow you feel disgusting. Pro, fresh, clean feeling at work. Con, walking around the office with a towel wrapped around my waist, though not a hard and fast rule, is frowned upon. Towel around the head, though less frowned upon, is possibly even stranger. Yeah, there's not many. It's like, yeah. The con is, well, I guess that's the joke. Should I explain the joke to everyone or just should we just move on? This is called Rats in the Kitchen, a Desperate Chef's Letter. I know what this is going to be about. This is going to be a Ratatouille thing, I believe. And so let's just keep in mind, this was like a, you know, 20-some-year-old thing. So, you know, this isn't me writing this today, pretending like, oh, I've had a great idea. It all started with that damn movie about the rat who cooks. It was cute enough, but now I've got all these rats knocking down my door. The movie came out on a Friday, and I kid you not, I had a rat Saturday morning asking me to help him become a master chef. Buddy, I said, you're covered in feces. He shrugged, and I said, sorry, it's just the feces. Plus, the way you put your hands in your mouth and then rub them over your head is fucking disgusting. All day, more rats. They all had a sob story, usually something about crawling through the sewers all day. What are they doing in the sewers all day anyway? Not a one could explain it to me. They can't lift pans, they eat all the butter, and they hatch their disgusting pink babies underneath the fryer. All I'm asking is for these movie makers to give some thought to what they're doing next time they make a movie where a rat learns to cook, a dog goes to space, or an ugly girl succeeds. Wow. Really, an unexpected punch at the end there. An ugly girl succeeds? Now I'm trying to think of a movie where an ugly girl succeeds. And it's not played for comedy. You know what I mean? Because, like, I feel like the movie trope, you know, I'm arguing with myself here from the past, but I've grown as a person. And the movie trope, in my opinion, is like, quote unquote, the ugly girl succeeds, but like, the ugly girl is never an ugly girl. Let's be realistic. You guys have seen the new Sam Raimi movie, Send Help. I think Rachel McAdams is in it. And, you know, they do my favorite thing where it's like they try to dowdy her up. And you're just like, I'm sorry, this would be like the hottest babe who's ever worked at any actual office. Doesn't matter if she's wearing unflattering corduroy pants way up to her belly button. That's fine. You know what I mean? We can see right through those corduroy stripes. We know what's going on. It's like, I don't know why they keep doing that. I'm like, is there just no average looking people that can be cast in shows, you know, or in movies? Are there no dramatic actors who are like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, why does she have to be secretly hot? But also it's like, let's make her a nerd and, you know, I don't know. Dowdy her up, though, is my new favorite saying. If I was an enterprising individual, that would be my new podcast that I'd pitch to the Maximum Fun Network. It's called Dowdy Her Up, or Dowdy Partners. And we watch movies where, you know, we're made to believe someone's dowdy who's definitely not. And it's like only the people in the movie seem to be thinking that this is the case. Next is called Battle Damage Batman. Every time a new Batman movie comes, a new line of Batman toys comes out. They make a few plain Batmen, then a whole assload of variations, which means that kids like me ended up with some bullshit like underwater action Batman, who wears a snorkel and swim fins. It's hard to believe, but there are some Batmen that didn't make the cut. This probably came from, I had a Batman Returns Batman, he was some kind of, I don't know, snow assault Batman or something. I have no idea what he was called, but his costume was almost entirely white, and I don't think he had a cape. It's possible he had a cape originally and lost it. I mean, like, of all the Batman toys I'd ever seen, I remember there was like two. There was like one from the original Batman movie that just looked like goddamn Batman. You know what I mean? He had a cape. His costume was correct. And then there was a line of figures. I can't even remember what they were called, but they were pretty cool. And they came with little stands so they could actually stand up. And that Batman also looked normal. And guess what you could never fucking find in the store? Regular Batman. Because everyone wanted regular Batman. And I'm like, why are these toy manufacturers? I'm like, assholes, listen, just make regular Batman. That's all you need to make. You could sell a billion of them. I never got one, and I wanted one so bad. So anyway, that frustration from being 7 years old came to this. Cyclist Batman. The only Batman figure where the legs are gigantic and the arms are tiny. He gets to the crimes eventually, but then By then, he's pretty beat. Comes complete with really tight, bright yellow shirt.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Little Lance Armstrong dig there. At this time, I didn't know that life would beat him up enough. He would, he had cancer. And then he was like, had blood doping scandal. I'm kind of like, I feel like I'm the only person on earth who's sort of like, when stuff like that happens, is just like, you know what? I mean, it's not like he's bike racing anymore. So like, fuck it. You know what I mean? Like, who cares? Maybe just. It always reminds me, these situations always remind me of, there was like an NFL player, I think, who like accidentally shot himself in the leg at a nightclub, and then he got charged with like having a weapon he wasn't supposed to have or whatever. And I was always like, I mean, maybe the penalty for this should just be like, well, he got shot in the leg, so that's worse than anything we would do to him, so fuck it. Next we have, here we go. Let's see. We are 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the 5th entry and our first Nazi reference. Number one Nazi hunter Batman. Nazi war criminals still on the run? Sounds like a job for the world's greatest detective. Comes with a complete set of detailed South American maps and says 3 German phrases when you push a button on his back. That's not a terrible idea. Like, maybe you do a run of Batman comics where it's like, he finds out there's like one real bad Nazi still left. You know, the greatest generation's dying off, and he's like, there's like one guy left. I'm going to bring the terror to his doorstep. He probably thinks he's gotten away with it. Medical exam Batman. Imagine the game Operation crossed with Batman. Comes completely nude except for cape and cowl. Also comes with medical probes and super uncomfortable Alfred figure. Oh yeah, that seems like a thing. Sometimes they would do that. They would include like a, you know, an Alfred figure with a vehicle or something. Which never really made sense to me, because I was always like, if you have to throw him in with the Batmobile or the, you know, Batcave playset or whatever, doesn't that just tell you like, we don't give a shit about Alfred? Next, we have Snooty Alfred. You know what part of Batman is really fun to recreate at home? The part where Alfred gives him a bunch of shit for breaking his fists on bad guys' faces and driving his car 90 miles per hour in alleys and completely destroying the homeless. Now, Master Bruce, I don't believe that's a good idea. Great. That would be funny. If you just came up, what would be more surprising than coming across a child playing with action figures and what he's playing at is Alfred chastising Batman. Now, Master Bruce. By the way, that's my impression based on the animated series, not the Dark Knight films. Michael Caine. Bloated Penguin. Fat action figures are just sad. If you get this action figure and lose the pants, you have to find pants meant for a large doll and then alter them yourself. Bloated Penguin. That Batman Returns Penguin was pretty bloated. He did not look comfortable. You know what I mean? Where you're like, his body shape just looks not fun to be in. Let's see. Things I would rather do than attend the city event where they show Spider-Man 3 in the park. I strongly disliked the movie Spider-Man 3 at the time. I feel like I would like it more now because I have a greater appreciation for, you know, the simplicity of the times. I'm made to understand. So Sam Raimi made those first 3 Spider-Man movies. Spider-Man 2 is excellent. Top tier superhero movie. Spider-Man 1 is also good. It's competent. It's got a lot of fun little things in it. I know some people hate it, but I think they're being too harsh. Spider-Man 3 is kind of the dark horse of it. But my understanding is that Sam Raimi wanted to do something totally different. And, you know, the movie studios got involved and they're like, we have to have Venom in here. It's like, why? Because that's, you know, popular. The kids like Venom. And so then they made a shitty Venom movie. And it's like, when are these fucking studios going to learn? It's like, just let Sam Raimi do whatever he wants, because if he can do what he wants, it's going to be fun. And if you make him do something, it's not going to be fun. It's going to be shit. Anyway, things I would rather do than attend the city event where they show Spider-Man 3 in the park. I mean, I probably was just mad because I was like, I mean, Spider-Man 3 was a newer movie. But everyone, why not show Spider-Man or Spider-Man 2? Well, here we go. Watch Spider-Man 1 in the park. Watch Spider-Man 2 in the park. Trap a jar's worth of mosquitoes and be tormented in my own home. Trap a jar's worth of bees and release them into the shower with me. Buy 20 different hair gels and just, I don't know, experiment. Be drunk. Kiss on the mouth that cat I saw smashed on the side of the road. Buy 20 different hair gels and just, I don't know, experiment. What a weird world we used to have. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine being in a situation in which I would ever do that now. You know, but like, we used to be so devoid of entertainment that that's like, yeah, maybe I'll just try some different hairstyles. That would qualify as entertainment. Questions I have about fake dog balls that you can buy for your dog after he gets neutered. This was a thing that I discovered existed. I've later found out Poonmaster Flex was watching, I think, Sex in the City and Sex and the City. And there's a guy on there who has a testicle removed and then is getting like fake balls. And then they're at the doctor and he's like, well, what size balls do you think you should have? And he's like, large. And, you know, and then he's like, medium. And his girlfriend is like, I don't know. And it's a little bit of a thing of like, you don't have huge, giant balls. And Poonmaster Flex was like, do you think if you lost your ball or balls, you would get replacements? And I was like, no, like there's no way. Because here's the thing. I am not riding on my appearance as far as, you know, getting through life. I'm definitely not, you know, the appearance of my ball sack is definitely not opening any doors for me. You know what I mean? It's not like I don't know, fucking some movie where it's like a piano virtuoso gets his hand crushed or something. And you're like, oh my God, his entire life has changed. It would, and I would, I don't spend any time really like with my balls. I mean, like when the one time when I was at Planned Parenthood, getting a check for something many years ago, the lady there was like, do you ever like check your testicles for cancer or for lumps or whatever? And I was like, no. And she was like, well, you know, I'm sure you spend enough time messing around down there anyway, so go ahead and just check it once in a while. You know what I mean? While you're in the neighborhood. She said it in a very nonchalant way, which is I kind of enjoyed, because I was like, well, what am I going to say? Messing around down there. Madam, what are you implying? So if I wouldn't get them for myself, I think the chances I would get them for a dog are like zero, right? Let's see, the questions I have about them. Is the price based on size? If so, could I choose to buy smaller balls for my dog and he'd just have to live with it? Sort of like you sometimes have to live with hand-me-downs from a cousin that are just a little too small? Specifically, hand-me-down breast implants from a cousin who is looking to upgrade to a triple F. Yeah, do you think a bigger or smaller dog balls cost different? If you get a boob job, for purely cosmetic reasons, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't have a surgery to save your life or whatever. You're just like, I think I just want to have some big honkers out here. Do you think they charge differently depending on the size you go up to? You know what I mean? Would a reputable vet be willing to install one tiny ball and one gigantic one? Yeah, I mean, like, why not, right? You know, if we're just talking here, and it's like, well, yeah, if you're going to putting fake balls in a dog, which is a product that someone invented, how much different is it to you ethically to install a big one and a little one? Would a reputable vet be willing to install fake balls in a dog at all? I asked my own question. What if I need a replacement ball sack? Can you get novelty shapes? Cube, gummy bear? That would be actually kind of funny to have a fake gummy bear testicle. You'd be like, here's the game. You have to feel around in my sack and guess what that is in there. Are these necessary? By which I mean, has a dog ever missed out on a chance to get laid because the lady dog missed his balls? You know what? I should be less critical. I should just be thankful that there is something I can buy for $500 that my dog can drag across the carpet. Yeah. I think it's really funny when people's dogs still have their balls. I mean, not funny. It's just like people who think that their dogs need that are really stupid. Like, what is your dog doing with those balls? Nothing good, nothing productive. All right. To next, and we'll, let's finish off with this one. This is called The Letter I Wrote That Time I Quit Work. Let's see how much I've changed. Greetings. Well, it's been terrible, but it's time for me to move on. I've been with this company a few weeks now, and I feel like I've learned a lot. Some of us got along, and some of us didn't. You know who you are. But for everyone who doesn't know, the main buttholes are Craig, Bill, and Sharon. Sadly, every good time must come to an end. One minute you're on a water slide having a blast, and the next minute your swimsuit rips and everyone can see your entire ass. And what a gross, flat butt it is. Sometimes there are particular reasons you have to move on. Sometimes somebody in the break room asks you to jack him off for money. Sometimes he might ask you over and over, which isn't appropriate as your boss. It haunts you. Also, sometimes you steal from the office. Big stuff, too. Before I go, there are some thank yous to be said. I want to thank the IT guy for taking the filter off my computer in exchange for me hitting on his wife at the office party and giving him a good reason to hit her later. Jesus. I want to thank Cliff for describing to me his daily morning shits, especially the time I was eating a warm cinnamon roll. Finally, I haven't changed at all. Finally, I would like to thank the lady who was always standing at the copier. Man, who is that, you know? If anyone wants to meet me for drinks, that'll be happening absolutely fucking never. Devoid of sincerity, fuck yourself. Oh, man. Good times. Let's just do a little preview of what we have to come. First, next time will be people make it hard when you have diarrhea. Coming up later, we have alternate names for Super Tuesday. Situations in which further clarification was unnecessary. Stupid detective story. Dum Dum Dugan, agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., considers names for his own children. Possible nicknames I gave up on upon entering library school. And Pete's job as an age advancement artist. What gems will we uncover? What, you know, horrible things have I said in the past? What will I regret saying on here? Who knows? But let's all just remember, this is a guy who, you know, wrote all this 20 some years ago, and he died inside probably 15 years ago. So, you know, you can't cancel him. He's already dead. All right. We'll see you next time.